Cambodia 20 years ago, and when we were going there, people ask, "So what are you going to accomplish in Cambodia?" And I said, when I got back to my senses, I said, "Sir, I don't know because we haven't been there yet." Because I don't know what's going to happen in Cambodia. I have big plans. I have great visions that I believe that we can do with the blessings and the enablement of the Lord. But things will become possible only if the Lord will allow us. And so here are the blessings of the Lord these past 3 years upon the work there in Cambodia. An update for you to see. And again, I want to let everyone know that in this endeavor in Cambodia, you have been a part of this. So please enjoy this video. That's how we look like before. That's how we look like today. This is one of our missions conferences. That's Brother Sophia. It's not dimly lit. He is just dark. These songs these young people are singing are songs composed by one of our staff. This is our Bible college where we have a 3-year program. It is a ministry we do together with fellow missionaries. These young men are preaching for the very first time. These are some of the missionaries that are involved in the Bible College. This is our children's home where we have 56, and the screen it says 59, but we have 56 children at present. That's the word we adopted. this is school started with just our three children. At present, we have 64 students of different nationalities, some Indian, Americans, Japanese, Singaporeans, Vietnamese, and Cambodians. That's our second son, Mikey. All these guys were saved and baptized in our church, and we sent them out to start churches in different places in Cambodia. If you notice the date, the year on that video, that was 2015. Yes, 2016, we had four students who graduated in our Bible college. And this year, this July, on the 3rd of July, we will having a graduation in our Bible college. And as of today, we have four who are sure to be graduating in our Bible college. Maybe we will have another two, three, or four more of the men who have been in school for quite a while. They have their families and they have their churches, and so they miss out on some of the subjects that we offered during the previous years, and so some of them came back or are coming back to complete credits. So please pray for these students. Please pray for our Bible college that we will be able to have our own facility so that we don't have to rent, so that it will be easier for us to turn over the administration of the Bible college. The truth is, with the Bible college, I only go there to teach when it's my schedule to teach. There's somebody else, one of the pastors that graduated in our Bible school, and he is now running the whole Bible college. We call him an office administrator. He does most of the job, so Pastor Mike will look good. And the main reason why we are here in the States, me and my wife are here in the States, is because last November we got an email from one of the churches, it's an organization that has been helping us in our children's home for many years. And they sent me an email and said they have some changes in their personnel, the leadership and personnel of their organization, and they have just implemented some new policies for their ministries. And the policy is this, that they will stop supporting ministries. This is an organization that supports or helps support children's home. And the policy change was this: they will stop supporting ministries for children where they do not have their own people on the field. And so it happens that they don't have anyone in the field except Dr. Castro and I. Dr. Castro has another children's home, and I have my own. We have our own children's home. And so they said, "We're sorry, effective March 2017, we're going to stop supporting you." And so with that, we lost $2,600 of monthly support for these children. And so please pray that the Lord will give us wisdom on how to deal with this problem. We hope that the Lord will provide whatever we lost in terms of support, but if not, that the Lord will give us some wisdom to make wise decisions on how to take care of the children with these changes that has affected us. And I appreciate very much if you would pray that the Lord will intervene in this. And should the Lord help you to participate in that, you can talk to Pastor Jeff and the leadership of this church about that, okay? So please do not send me support directly without the knowledge of your pastor, because I don't do that, okay? Today I'm going to invite your attention. Pastor Jeff just told me earlier that I can preach for 3 hours. So stand up with me, please, and open your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to read from verses 17 all the way to 22. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach for 3 hours. I just want to, I would say, put that in there to see if you are awake, okay? Mark chapter 10, verse 17. I'm going to read these verses. Please follow with your eyes. When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all this have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "One thing thou lackest: go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We ask your forgiveness of sins we have committed. We pray for cleansing from all uncleanness and unrighteousness that would be found in our lives, so that we would become clean vessels to receive whatever blessings you have prepared for us from your word today. And Lord, I pray that you will empower your servant. Give me wisdom, Lord, as I'm going to speak to your people. And I trust that the Holy Spirit will work in their lives to let us all consider and ponder the things you would want us to do, that we would do them only and solely for your sake and for your glory. And so, Lord, we pray that you will accomplish your will in our midst today. And we ask all this in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. This is a story that people would call this story the story of the rich young ruler. We do not find in here, in Mark chapter 10, that this guy was young. We don't find him as a ruler, but in separate accounts, one in Matthew chapter 19 and another in Luke chapter 18, we find that this man was quite young, and in we find that he is some kind of a ruler or some kind of a person in a leadership position in the Jewish society. But something very unique about this story: if we read our Bibles, other than Judas Iscariot, who, after betraying the Lord Jesus Christ, went out and hanged himself, other than Judas Iscariot, we do not find other occurrences in the Bible where somebody came to the Lord Jesus Christ asking for something that the Lord Jesus Christ could well provide or give to him, but ended up being disappointed. This man was running to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was interested to know about eternal life and who is the best person to approach to know about the Lord Jesus Christ, about eternal life, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the author of life himself. So he has a legitimate need, and he came to the very person who can supply that need. But our verse, the last verse we find here, is that he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. What a very tragic ending for a story. And you know what? Many of the stories in the Bible, we do not know the name of the person. And every time I come to a place like that, how come the Holy Spirit led the Bible writers to name people like Jairus, name people like, who are quite unknown figure like Eutychus, the guy who fell from the window? How come the Bible names these people only once? But this man, his story was mentioned 3 times in the 3 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but his name was not mentioned. And I was trying to find an answer. And I think this is the answer. The reason why God doesn't name some people in whose stories are found in the Bible is because of this. Their stories are matching our own personal stories. And that, if that ending of their story was a tragedy, we could correct our part so that the ending, as far as we are concerned, would not be a tragedy. I believe that. Because the Bible, the errors of men and women here are written so that we would avoid them. So today, I'm going to give a title to the message, What Happens When You Say No to Jesus? Here is a very classic example of a person who came face to face with Jesus. Jesus told him something that he could have done, but he said, no, sir. He'll probably say, no way, Jose. He said no to Jesus. I want us to be warned right here at the beginning that we will end up to be the losers every time we say no to the Lord Jesus. I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ will be affected, of course, because he loves us so much. And he doesn't want us to suffer the tragedy of losing on his blessings, or even the worst tragedy, much more difficult, worst tragedy of losing our soul. He will be affected in that manner. But as far as his perfection is concerned, he wouldn't lose any bit at all. Because he is God and he is perfect. We will be the losers when we say no to the Lord Jesus. Some people would say, well, Brother Mike, why would people say no to the Lord anyway? From our text, we're going to look at some observations to see why people would say no to the Lord Jesus. This message is not exhaustive as far as reasons why people say no to the Lord Jesus. But the very reason why people say no to the Lord Jesus is because they entertain so many lies. They buy into so many lies. One of the lies that this person bought in was the lie that he can be good enough to deserve eternal life. His question to the Lord Jesus was, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? He was thinking that salvation or eternal life could become his possession if he did good enough. I want us all to be warned, no matter how good you are, no matter how talented you are, nobody in this planet will ever be good enough to merit salvation, because salvation is not something people gain by their own doing. Salvation is something people receive as a gift from God, the Heavenly Father, on anyone who would profess faith on the finished work of Jesus Christ. This man said, what shall I do? And you notice the Lord Jesus Christ gave him just half of the Ten Commandments. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ's answer here is very fitting to his need. But he gave just half of the Ten Commandments. And the man said, I have observed those when I was young. In one of the other gospel narratives, he even said, what lackest thou I? Did I miss anything? He was saying that. It's kind of very smug that if somebody has attained there. Well, I'm well qualified. He was very wrong. If you are here today and you say that you can be saved by joining our religion, you are wrong. I'm not the one saying that. I'm just voicing. I'm just repeating what the Bible teaches plainly. That we cannot earn salvation by any work we can do. We can only have salvation if we agree with God that He is holy, that He sent His only begotten Son, that we agree with Him that we are sinners, and we agree with God that what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary is what is required so that salvation could be provided for anyone who believes, for anyone who put his trust in Jesus Christ. Another lie that this man bought in was that some way, somehow, he did not believe that Jesus Christ is God. How do you say that? Look here. How did he address the Lord Jesus? He said, "Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He addressed the Lord Jesus Christ as "Good Master." And pay attention to the answer from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none other, none good, but one, that is God." What is Jesus Christ saying here? As I've said earlier, Jesus Christ is God and He knows everything. He knows the secrets in the deepest recesses of your hearts and mine. And He knew what is in the heart of this man. We call that in our in theology as omniscient, meaning God knows everything. Nothing is hid before the all-knowing God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ told him, "There is none good but one, that is God." What is he saying? He said, "You do not believe that I am God, and yet here you are, you call me good." Jesus Christ is saying, if you call me good, then you must admit that I am God. Because if I am not God, then I'm no good. If Jesus Christ is not God, we cannot have salvation. Because the only way for salvation to become possible is that the solution begins in God. And a solution for salvation began in Jesus Christ. Our Bible tells us there is not a just man upon earth who doeth good and sinneth not. Ecclesiastes 7:20. So if, what is this man saying? "I don't believe that you're God." He said that Jesus Christ was just a man. You know what? People may lie about the Lord Jesus Christ. And for a time being, you might believe that. But it is ultimately your fault to believe, when you believe, that Jesus Christ is just a man. Just like what is reported in our media today. You know, there was this boating trip. We went boating yesterday. It was my birthday. 54 years of existence on this planet. The first time I celebrated birthday on a lake in a boat with this guy. Okay. But there's another boat and lake experience I've read somewhere. The Pope and Mr. Trump went boating. Of course, they were with Mr. Trump's Secret Service people. And so when they were boating in their boat in the middle of the lake, and the wind blew and knocked down the Pope's cap into the water. And it was there floating. The Pope tried his best to retrieve it from the water, but he can't reach that far. So the Secret Service agent said, "We'll go get that, sir." And Trump said, "No, no, no. I want to be the one to take that." And the Pope said, "Sir, you are the President of the United States of America, the most powerful country on earth. Just forget about that. I have thousands of those caps." And Mr. Trump said, "It is my honor, it is my privilege to be of service to you, your holiness, Holy Father." And so Trump got down of the boat and he walked on water. He grabbed that cap on top of the water, shook the water on that, walked back into the boat. Got into the boat, gave the boat to the Pope, and the Pope was so elated that the president of the most powerful country on earth did such kind of service to him. The next morning, on the newspaper, the headline was this: Mr. Trump can't swim. I don't know what lies you have grown up believing on the Lord Jesus, about the Lord Jesus Christ and about God and about the Bible. If some way, somehow you were led to believe these things, I want you to know that please get rid of those lies. Here is the truth. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is God incarnate. He is the God who created everything visible and invisible. And that he was born of a virgin, lived upon earth. One day he went to a hill called Calvary where he offered his life, the ultimate sacrifice, so that salvation through grace could flow freely from a righteous God to sinners like you and I. This man, for whatever reason, he thought that Jesus Christ was just a man. And sad to say, even after being face to face with the Lord Jesus, he went away unchanged. I hope you are here today, that if some way, somehow in your past you believe that there's other way of salvation, that you would be changed and say, yes, there is one God and only Savior, and that is Jesus Christ, and I want him to be mine. Another lie that this man believed in is that he was lying to himself. Just imagine the urgency. He was half-hearted but insincere. Okay, he was sincere but quite half-hearted. He was running. There's some urgency there. And so he come to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? I mean, if you are willing to suspend activities you are engaged in just to come to the Lord Jesus Christ in such fashion like you are running, then some way, somehow, it looks like you are sincere. But after hearing what Jesus Christ has to say, he turned his back. He said no and turned his back on Jesus. Another lie that this man entertained, has bought in, is that we just sang about this. He thought that whatever he had as a possession here on earth was much more precious than Jesus. We just sang that Jesus is enough for us, enough for me. I mean, if he would have just stopped and considered what Jesus was telling him and just have agreed with Jesus, he would be just like many of us here who can say, yes, Jesus is enough. In fact, he is more than enough. But somehow, this man was deluded to believe that material possessions, perhaps worldly position and fame, position of power, are more important than a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is sad that many young people, they begin right by being active in the youth group. But then after they go into college and graduate from college, they vanish from any relationship with this church. Why is that? Perhaps unconsciously they are saying, I believe in Jesus, but there are other things there that could take his place. This man, the very moment he turned away from Jesus, he realized that he was wrong. But again, he wouldn't come back and say to Jesus, I'm sorry, good master, I was wrong. He walked away sad because he thought his earthly and material possessions are more precious than what Jesus can give him. So why? There are other reasons why people believe, say no to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the bottom line is this: they believe all kinds of lies. While this man was entertaining these lies about the Lord Jesus, about himself, about how good he is, about his material possessions, we find here that he is ignoring something very important. Let me point that out to everyone. Verse 21, Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Because he was so engrossed with all kinds of lies that he has entertained, he ignored the love of Jesus. I mean, for our pastor mentioned about hermeneutics, okay? The study of the interpretation of scriptures. Mark was not one of the original apostles, so he would not have been an eyewitness to this. Scholars say that Mark must have derived the materials from his gospel from Peter. Of course, he had the inspiration of the Holy Spirit upon him. So if Peter was the one who related this story to Mark, Peter must have seen in the facial expression of the Lord Jesus Christ that love is flowing and reaching out to this man. But this man is so engrossed with himself that he is ignoring such love from the Lord Jesus. I don't know the difficulties in your life that you have gone through that might cause you to say that I don't believe in a God of love. But even the tragedies in life that we go through, if we just pause and ponder about them, we will realize that these are God's expression of his wonderful love upon us. Well, this man ignored the love of Jesus. So because he was buying into all kinds of lies and he was ignoring the love of Jesus, what happens? He was unwilling to admit a very serious lack in his life. Jesus Christ said, "One thing thou lackest." And Jesus Christ told him that. You know, Jesus says, "One thing thou lackest." The man was so filled of himself, he would not admit that there is a very serious deficiency in his life. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Psalm 39 verse 5 says, "Every man at his best estate is altogether vanity." It doesn't say, "Every man at his worst estate is vanity." It doesn't even say, "Every man at his worst estate is vanity." It says, "Every man at his best estate is altogether," not just a fraction, "is altogether vanity." So this man, he is supposed to be a Jewish leader. And he wants, as a Jewish leader, he ought to have known this scripture that every man at his worst, at his best estate is altogether vanity. So he is unwilling to admit that apart from God, apart from God's righteousness, he don't stand a chance of having salvation. We call this faith. That I agree. Faith is, somebody gave this smart meaning to the word faith as an acrostic. F, forsaking. A, all. I, T, trust. H, him. Forsaking all, I trust him. He lacked that thing. After the famous verse, John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he sent his own, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life," we find these verses 17 and 18. "God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already." If you are here today, just like this man, you lack this one thing. If you are here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not going to be condemned. The Bible says you are condemned already, regardless of how good you are, regardless of how benevolent you are, regardless of how society, good thing society says about you, you are condemned already. This man was not willing to admit this great luck, that he only needs to put his faith on what Jesus Christ has said. That is faith. So because he entertained so much lies, he was ignoring the love of Jesus, and he was not admitting the lack in his life, he incurred these very, very serious losses upon himself. What are these? Things that people lose if they say no to Jesus. The very first thing that people lose when they say no to Jesus is this: you will lose your soul. Apart from Jesus, no other salvation in any other. For there is none other name given under heaven whereby you and I can be saved. You will lose your soul if you say no to Jesus. If you are here today, please don't say, I'll do that later, because you do not know the opportunities that you might have there, or the opportunities, or this might be the only opportunity for you to put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. So this man, because he said no to Jesus, he lost his soul. Another thing that this man lost was that because he said no to Jesus, he lost the opportunity to follow Jesus. How many people have had that special privilege of them being given a personal come on from the Lord Jesus? Jesus said, follow me. Woo! And you know what? Every time you read your Bible, when Jesus Christ says, do this, that is his come on and say, follow me. You have a quarrel with somebody, follow me. Forgive them and go seek their forgiveness. Follow me. Somebody out there needs to be presented with the gospel, follow me. Lead them. Many people are missing out on the opportunity of becoming a follower of Jesus because they said no. I remember some time ago in this country, I met a brother. He said, Brother Mike, I want you to know that I'm so encouraged by you following what God's calling is upon your life at an early age. I'm not young, very young anymore. Years back, there was an opportunity for me to yield my life to God's control and to follow him, but I did not do that. And so every time I see somebody like you, I feel convicted in my heart. There are so many things that run into my mind about what could have been have I yielded my life to the Lord Jesus. Friends, after Jesus Christ saving your soul, he wants you to follow him. Perhaps the first step of following would be baptism and joining this church. And we have seen there was they attend, learn, engage, and lead. That is following Jesus. Follow me. Jesus Christ said, follow me. He lost his soul. He lost the opportunity to follow Jesus. Here's one thing more. He lost the opportunity to become a blessing to others. When you follow Jesus, you become an instrument of his blessings. Jesus Christ told this man, said, sell what you have and follow, give it to the poor and follow me. There are many people around us that we may not be aware of that their life could be impacted. We become God's instrument of love and grace if we just follow Jesus. I mean, one time, years back, my wife had surgery in the Philippines. We didn't have good medical facilities in Cambodia. So one time, the doctor said my wife needed this surgery, so we arranged to go to the Philippines. And I did something wrong and stupid. I know my wife has forgiven me. So we went to the Philippines. They did surgery on my wife. But while I think that they... after she got out of the hospital, I was preaching at the missions conference. Preaching in the morning, preaching in the evening. Went back to where my wife was resting about middle of the night. In the early morning, I said to have to kiss her goodbye, go to where I'm preaching. Just leave my wife alone. So while I'm preaching, of course, I'm thinking about my wife. I said, what am I doing? I know preaching God's word is my primary task, but not to the neglect of my girl. So I was there preaching one evening, the last day of the missions conference in this church. Preaching was over, invitation was given. It was all done. Went home. About 10 years later, I was out preaching somewhere. At the airport, we were met by the pastor and another young man. Pastor said, "Brother Mike, this is Joseph. Joseph, Brother Joseph, tell Brother Mike who you are and what Brother Mike's relation is with you." I said, "I don't know this man from Adam. What relationship could I have with him other than if he is a believer, then we are both believers?" So he said, "You know, Brother Mike, years back, you came to preach at this church." And I said, "Yeah, I remember that well, because I will never forget that. My wife just came out of surgery, and I went preaching. Stupid. But, you know, when you're young, you have all kinds of mistakes. When you're older, you have more mistakes." So I went there, and they said, "Yeah, you know what? During the last night of that conference, I came up the stairs. Somebody rented my van, and they came to the church. I have been a pastor for many years, but got disgruntled with people and the ministry, and I quit the ministry. But I just got bored. I didn't like to be in the missions conference. I came up when everyone has settled and you were beginning to preach. You preach. I listened to every word you said. When you gave that invitation, I came forward. I didn't even shake your hands after that. But after that, that evening, I recommitted my life to the Lord Jesus. And since that night, I have been preaching again. I just started a new work. And I'm just glad that I'm here with you today, 10 years later." Isn't it a wonderful thing that you become God's instrument of blessing to someone else? You've seen the picture of Brother Sophia. That was not a dimly lit room. Brother Sophia was just dark. Somebody came there, and you've seen another preacher there. Brother Corey Gordon said, "Brother Mike, how come this guy is so dark?" And I said, "I don't know, Brother Corey. Maybe the answer was that he's just overcooked." But here are people who were blessed of God, because some way, somehow, in my feeble attempt, I said, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to follow you." You lose the opportunity of becoming a blessing to others if you don't follow Jesus. You lose your soul if you don't say yes to Jesus. You lose the opportunity to become a follower of Jesus if you say no to him. You lose the opportunity to become a blessing to others if you say no to Jesus. You lose the potential of having both heavenly and earthly riches. The Lord said to him, "Sell what you have and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." When the Lord said treasure, he said, "Who cares for treasure in heaven?" Oh, yes. That beautiful, sweet by and by is very desirable. But who cares about the sweet by and by? I want the nasty now and now. If you are more concerned with what you have today than what you can enjoy in the presence of the Lord, I'm saying you have chosen a nasty choice. You have made a nasty choice. Oh, yes. Hebrews says there's pleasure in sin for a season. The key there is season, for a season. We arrived here in the U.S. on the 30th of April. And we've been in many homes. You know, this is what has been fulfilled in our lives. Okay, let me read this. Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you," verse 29, the same story. Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time." While approaching the blessings of the sweet now and by and by, there are blessings that we can have in this present time. I mean, who would have thought that on my 50th birthday, I would be having my first experience of steering the wheel on a boat on a calm lake and carrying on with this guy? I was surprised that there are some people who don't know him. He is a Steve Austin, stone cold. Hey, how many homes have been opened by the Lord to Daisy and I on this trip? That's a blessing from God. That's a blessing from God. People are so afraid that, oh, I'm going to lose so much if I yielded my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps there will be some losses. Perhaps there will be some pain. But what Jesus gives will be much, much more than what you have ever desired. You will lose on having the potential of enjoying both earthly blessings as you move forward to where your treasures are hidden up in glory. Another thing that this man lost, he did not only lose, he sold the opportunity to follow Jesus and the blessing to become a blessing to others. He did not only lose the potential of having both earthly and heavenly riches, he lost the opportunity of being personally responsible, the privilege of leading your household to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is important for us to know that this man was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler, meaning he is in a position of influence. Regardless of who you are in a position of being an influence on somebody else. Oh, I don't have any influence. Well, the people you play with, you influence them every day. If you're a father, you influence your family. This man, I would say, comes from a fundamental Jewish family. As fundamental Jewish family, they rejected Jesus as the Messiah. They were the ones who invented all kinds of lies about the Lord Jesus Christ. So here he is, he comes to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe he should have been convinced that this is indeed the Messiah, and I'm going to make him my Messiah, and I'm going to lead my family into the saving knowledge of this Messiah. But he did not. He did not. If you're here today and you say, I'm the only person who believes in Jesus in my family, and if I yield my life to God, my father, my mother will disown me. They will persecute me. Well, perhaps they will do that initially, but who will be a witness in that home if you don't stand up as a witness for Jesus Christ in your home? Oh, if I went to that MTT thing, what would my dad, what would my mom, what would my girlfriend say about me? Well, if they are unbelievers, they will, of course, be against it. But after going there, they will see your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. You put yourself in a better position to present the gospel to them. Just don't say no to Jesus. Just don't say no to Jesus. This man comes from a Jewish home that do not believe in Jesus. And who will tell this Jewish home that do not believe in Jesus about Jesus? Nobody, because he said, no. No. I hope that will not be the case in your home. You will say, I will be a good mother for the sake of my children. Of course, for the honor and glory of God. I will be a good father for the sake of my sons. I will be a good neighbor for the sake of the people in my environment, immediate environment. You put yourself in a position to influence others if you say yes to Jesus. But if you say no, you are squandering away a precious privilege of leading these precious people in your home, in your environment, in your neighborhood, into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Finally, this man lost the enjoyment of true joy in the Lord. If I'm here and I'm eating an apple and I would say, is this apple good? You would say, yeah, I've eaten apples before. But you will be wrong, because you might have eaten apples before and they might taste the same as the apple I'm holding, but it would be a different apple. The only way you can say that the apple I'm eating is sour or sweet is if you take a bite into it. And people say, oh, if you give up everything for Jesus, what kind of life will you have? Well, like I told the brother, I said, I don't know because we haven't been there yet. You just don't know the blessings that become yours is to say yes to Jesus. But I'm sure if you say no to Jesus, you will lose your soul. Please don't say no to Jesus. If you are a Christian now, please don't say no to Jesus, lest you lose the opportunity of becoming his follower. If you're a believer, don't say no to Jesus, lest you lose the opportunity of becoming a blessing to others. There are people, tons of them around you, who need to be blessed by the Lord Jesus through you. If you say no to Jesus, you will lose the opportunity of enjoying the Lord's best blessings. If you say no to Jesus, you will lose the opportunity of becoming the witness that you are supposed to be in your home, in your community, in your workplace. And you will end up like this man. He thought there's just too much to give up. But the very moment he turned his back on Jesus, he realized he was wrong. Sad, sad, sad. He would not repent. I hope such a tragic ending will not become your portion. Don't believe the lies about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. Please don't ignore the love of Jesus. Please understand that regardless of how good you might be, there is a need in your life that only Jesus can fulfill. There is a lack in your life that only Jesus can fulfill. And please understand this. Jesus Christ will not lose a bit. He would be grieved, but he will not lose a bit. If you say no to him, you stand to lose so much when you say no to Jesus. Let's all stand up and go to the Lord in prayer.